say either. I say either, you say neither. And I say neither, either, either, neither.
From the studios of WHQR in Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. I'm Cleve Callison, your host, and our topic today, uses and misuses of language. Our guests are Nan Graham, commentator on WHQR, an English teacher and all-around language maven. And with us is Barbara Bush from the WHQR studios. We have three actual English majors here in this studio right now. And you've taught English before, have you not, Barbara?
Well, actually, I taught business classes.
Classes.
I hate to admit it.
But don't they speak English in business classes?
Not very well.
Okay.
Not very well. it was tough. And I know that you brought me in here, Cleve, because people wanted to know if I talk about anything besides fundraising. And yes, I do know how to have another conversation besides phone numbers. This is a lot of fun.
Well, wait a minute, though. But before we do that, let's mention that phone number, 910-343-1138. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and ask your question of either Nan or Barbara or me, please give a call and tell us about that. You can also send us an email to coastline@whqr.org, or we're on Twitter, @coastlinehqr. We had a question here that I want to get to with someone that both of you know, and that's Annie Gray. Annie Gray Johnson wrote in and said, "What's the origin?" The origin of ain't. Ain't. Okay.
That's for you, Nan.
Well,
let's have it, Cleve.
Well, I have some information here.
All right.
What do you think?
Well, I hadn't seen the question before we got it, so I'm sitting here stewing a little bit.
Well, Cleve cheated, I think.
Yeah, I did. I've got some help.
Oh,
I've got my research. My powerful researcher Isabel at work on this. In my research team. Do you ever use ain't? Have you ever been known to say that word?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Under what circumstances?
Life. You're a Southerner.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it ain't raining yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, just being silly.
Yeah. Colloquial.
Yes. Yeah,
very familiar.
Yes.
We all know that everybody has many, many different languages. You talk to your family different than you talk to your work colleagues, than you talk to people in church and, you know, whatever it might be. And as long as we know what we're doing and know which group we're in and what the norms of that group are in, sure, then we're okay.
Which gear to shift into. That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
Ain't is sort of an unusual word because according to one source that Isabel found for us, it is a shortened form of several words, either am not, are not, right, is not, has not, or have not. It can multi-purpose.
Or you can just say ain't.
And it used
to
be,
say ain't.
It used to be correct.
But here's something that you might not know, okay? When you hear somebody say, aren't I, you know, very rather formal, most of us would think.
It's supposed to be that, am I not?
Well, yeah, but you can't say am't I.
True.
What we pronounce as aren't I, A-R-E, an apostrophe T, an English person would pronounce aunt I. The R really doesn't belong in there. That's a later spelling. And aunt I is really ain't I. And sometimes, you know, you'll see really like House of Lords guys out going fox hunting or something like that will drop colloquialisms and they drop their G's and they say ain't and all like that. It's very much a phenomenon not unknown in the upper classes of
English. I knew I
English.
Was up in high class.
Yeah, there you go.
And y'all.
There you go.
Another high class.
Right.
That's how you know you're in the upper echelon.
343-1138 is the number to call to be on the show and talk to Nan Graham or Barbara Bush or me. I'm Cleve Callison, and here's a tweet from Jacqueline who says, why are you saying let's don't? I didn't realize any of us had said that today, but maybe we would. I guess she thinks there's a problem with let's don't. Let's don't.
I guess when somebody says, oh, let's go uptown and go shopping, and somebody else says let's don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's kind of a humorous response to that. You know, if somebody says, oh, let's do something, and someone else says, let's don't.
No, I think so, too.
It's not something you would use in formal English.
Or probably in written, unless you're writing dialogue for something.
Right, yeah. So it's a lot of these things are really harmless colloquialisms.
Yes.
Again, it depends on the context and where you are when you hear it or say it.
Can I complain about a thing that's just invaded us, an invasive species that is a recent addition to our language? Is this thing of everything is no problem. That drives me stark raving nuts. And I don't let my students say that. I just tell them right as they walk through the door, I'm sorry, that is not acceptable.
I thought you were already stark raving nuts.
Well, I am that, but even crazier than usual. But I think it's become just an answer to everything. And when you thank somebody for something, thank you so much for the delicious dessert. No problem is a very dismissive and I think somewhat rude response to that. What do you all think about that? I just can't abide it.
I'm going to stop saying that.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I have told total strangers not to say it anymore. You know, I'm one of those little old ladies and I get away with murder.
You know,
go ahead, Barbara.
Dan, you wrote a commentary one time about being an English major, and it was one of my favorite commentaries. And my favorite part in there is when you talk about what it's like for kids who are raised by an English major. Can you give us a little description of how your children used to answer your questions?
Not used to, Barbara. These are middle-aged people now, and they're still doing this. But I would say, what are you getting ready to do? You're going out toward the beach? And they said, yes, I'm going out to lie, lay in the sun. This way they've covered both bases because they can't determine on an instant whether it's lie or lay. And so this all bases are covered. They do this on several different occasions. The lie, lay is the most frequent thing that they use. But, yeah, they just, you know, they don't know at this point just when to.
So they use to cover all their bases.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I will still correct them.
Yeah.
You know, I'll always be the English teacher mother at 103.
This is Coastline on WHQR. I'm Cleve Callison here with Nan Graham and Barbara Bush. Our phone number is 910-343-1138. Let's go to our first caller, and I think we're going to be speaking to, if I've got this correctly, or this is the first time I've ever put a call on the air from this studio. I think this is Barbara from Hampstead. Barbara, this is Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm really pleased to get on the program, and I do have a real complaint, and it's about our school children and everybody not making good use of the dictionary, which is so much fun to use.
It's true.
And Nan, I want to give you a challenge right off.
Oh, mercy.
And see if you can know what, it just drives me so crazy because all the newscasters are doing this wrong. And only American, I might add. And I want to give you a country's name. It's Qatar. And everyone has really murdered the pronunciation. To me, it's so insulting. How can we talk to another country and have their mirror over here and right in front of them, interview them and pronounce their name wrong?
Oh, my gosh. Barbara, listen, I flunked geography.
You know, it's really,
I do know what an EMEA is.
Your Oxford Collegiate Dictionary, even from 2002, it's pronounced Qatar.
Thank you for letting us know.
And everyone.
I started to
Charlie
say that.
Charlie Rose, Hillary Clinton. I had to turn off Bloomberg the other night. Gutter and Cutter. And you know what?
Qatar.
Think of guitar.
Yes.
Let me ask
and
Barbara.
And then you have Qatar.
Barbara.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, have you ever lived in that country?
No. I have no dog in this fight.
Okay.
I just think it's really insulting.
Well.
And being I'm a volunteer tutor, I have been in Hampstead, and I know what's coming up through grade school and the poor phonetic use of the English language, which I might add phonics is the only way to decode the language. And you can see these students have not learned anything.
Thank you, Barbara.
Barbara, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call, Barbara. I just want to say, though, we run into a real problem when we try to take sounds from a very foreign language like Arabic, for which there are no equivalents in English. It is impossible to recognize the correct pronunciation of that in what we do. If you look at how it's spelled, often Qatar, you might want to say Qatar. I've talked to people who've lived there who say it's much closer to gutter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how they pronounce it, gutter.
Oh,
but it's not really like a G. It's like halfway between a G and a C. Mm-hmm. It's a sound that we do not have in English. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real problem when we're dealing with foreign names. We just kind of have to do the best we can. Remember when Beijing used to be called Peking? You know, it's not because they changed the way they pronounced it.
The chicken still is.
Oh, Peking chicken?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to another caller here, and I believe this is Edith. Our number is 910-343-1138. Hello, Edith. You're listening to WHQR's Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Allison.
Allison.
That's okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
That's not a mispronunciation. That's just
My crack researcher insisted you were Edith, so we're going to call you Edith for the remainder of this call. Is that all right? All right, go ahead, Allison.
Just a little pet peeve. I homeschool my kids, and so I've had a lot of grammar drilled into me, and I think most people just have an aversion to adverbs. When you say to speak different to one person than to the other, an adverb would be differently, and most people just kind of leave off the L-Y. So I think people just are not fond of adverbs.
I think that's one of the number one things people do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's been aided and abetted by the advertising industry. Have you noticed how many people put in an adjective instead of an adverb these days?
Yes, I do.
This probably goes back to the Think Different campaign that Apple did about 20 mm-hmm. years ago.
Well, have somebody to blame then, don't we?
Yeah. you know, the Time Warner Cable, I think, says their motto is enjoy better, you know, which.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the deal. You understand what they mean by that. They are communicating with you, and you probably remember it better because it rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
So that's probably quite deliberate.
So they're succeeding then, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
That's a good thank you. That was a good one.
Thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Allison, thank you so much for your call.
All righty. Bye-bye.
910-343-1138 for your calls on today's Coastline. Let's get some more examples of English. But I want to go back to the no problem thing.
Yeah.
I think it really bugs people, and it kind of bothers me. I'm going to bring my wife in vicariously on this. It really bugs Jenny when a wait person in a restaurant says it.
No, that's his job.
She said, that's your job.
It's
a
job.
I'm not asking you to do something that's not your job.
I'm thanking you. The proper response would be, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Happy to help you. Just not know.
It infers they did it because it wasn't a problem.
You mean implies.
Yeah.
Implies.
Oh, yeah. You just said infers.
Okay, I'm leaving.
That was not Nan Graham.
That was Barbara Bush. Okay.
And I'm supposed to be the expert.
But, you know, you just said, I'm happy to do it or something like that. I'm not sure what one of the other things you were. In a sense, that's not different. I pointed out to Jenny, and I'm sure she appreciated this. She speaks French, and when we're in France and she talks to people, she's always saying, pas de problème, which means
not a problem.
Not a problem. It means I'm glad to do it. Well, you may not really be glad to do it. You may just be being polite. So it's part of being polite. And I think that's kind of carried over. But I have to admit it's way overdone by people in restaurants. Always say, can I have a glass of water? No problem.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some more. Do we have another caller on the line? Wendy from Southport. Wendy, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'd like to know who invented irregardless.
Oh, mercy.
Yes. That one. Yeah. It was a restaurant like that, Chapel Hill.
There was.
The name of a restaurant was irregardless?
Yes. Yes, up in the triangle. Yes.
Kind of funky.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay. Well, I don't know who invented it. It's just been something that's been around, I would say, probably because the prefix IN, where the N gets assimilated into the next word, it usually means not, and because regardless has kind of the meaning of not, it's sort of doubling down on the word not.
But, it is. It's almost a double, negative.
You definitely don't want to use it in a job interview.
As a foreign English teacher.
This should be our standard, you know. This is what it's for. Okay, we're going to retitle this program is How to Ace the Job Interview. We're going to tell you what you should avoid and what you should say in your job interview. Assuming that the guy interviewing you knows what he's talking about.
Interesting, because I remember talking to Celia Rivenbalk one time. We were talking about language, and we were talking about often. I often do homework on weekends, and OFTEN. Mm-hmm. And she said she got her first job because she said often instead of often.
Correct.
Correct.
And that is
silent T.
Yes,
the silent T. And I she got the job here again.
That's what linguists would call a spelling pronunciation.
Yes,
because it really. natural course of English, it would have, the T would have gone away, but because people see it in writing, they think, oh, I better pronounce it.
I better put it in. Right.
Barbara, thank you very much. No, wait Wendy. A minute. Wait a minute.
This is Wendy, yes.
Wendy. This is Wendy. Wendy, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate hearing from you.
I love that you're doing this today, and I have a coffee mug that says, I'm silently correcting your grammar.
Okay. That wouldn't go love well it, with us because we're not silent about it.
No, these guys are not silent about that at all. Wendy, thank you for
thank
your call.
You, Wendy.
You bet.
Okay. All right. Here is another call from Gordon from, let me put Gordon on the line. Gordon from Wilmington has a comment for one of our folks or a question. Gordon, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I had the pleasure of working in radio and television myself for a number of years and then ended up teaching television and radio writing and so on at a well-known college. And I thought it was kind of interesting since we're on the radio. When I used to teach that, there's a whole different set of rules called oral style, which is used in, you know, writing news and commercials and all kinds of radio scripts. And my students used to love it because the first day of class, I always say, well, you know, if you want to do well in this class, you can basically forget some of the rules you learned in English class. Of course, they all went, yay, you know. but it's, you know, it's almost like a whole different language that's used in good radio and TV writing and media writing. You know, things like incomplete sentences are okay sometimes, and you know, short sentences
like call now.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, the classic one I think of, I mean I used to actually collect radio commercials, which everybody thinks is like crazy, but that used to be one of my hobbies, is, you know, collecting good radio commercials. And if you think of some of the, you already mentioned some of the campaigns, but the one for milk where the slogan is just basically, got milk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine them saying, do you have milk? It just doesn't make sense to do it in the correct grammatical way. So I think it's, you know, we really need to make a distinction between the written word and the spoken word. And when you talk about English, and sometimes there's some big differences there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can use it as an excuse.
Exactly. Very much.
What, Nan?
Thank you very much, Gordon. We appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
I had talked about on commercials at Tuscaloosa High School that I'd listen to the radio getting dressed to go to school. And they used to have this men's store there in Tuscaloosa. And then I would say, big sale, big sale, big sale at Ralph's. Ralph's pants are way down. And I don't know, somehow I was sent off to my high school class with Ralph's pants. I don't know, it just has never gone away, that auditory image, if there is such a thing.
You're listening to Coastline on WHQR. Our topic today, as you might have figured out, is pet peeves of language. We're actually uses and misuses. I haven't heard too many good uses. Everybody's got a misuse that they want to talk about. And if you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 910-343-1138, or you can email us at coastline@whqr.org. Our Twitter address is @coastlinehqr. Oh, let me see. We've got a whole bunch of emails coming in, and I'm falling way behind on this. Kathy said, what happened to the word an, A-N? Its usage seems to have fallen off the face of the earth. Last week, the president of the U.S. himself said a outrage when speaking of the down Malaysian Airlines flight.
Yeah. Oh.
I, you know, I have to feel that the president knew better than that, that it was an extemporaneous remark. He was speaking in a press conference, I think, and just a lapse.
Yeah,
you know, there's
and
a saying
nervous.
From antiquity, even yeah. Homer nods, you know, you're going to make a mistake once in a while. So, yeah. But yeah, you know, and these days where everything is videotaped and put on YouTube and Instantly. Looked at over and over again, you can never get away from things like that. Speaking of things you can never get away from is the clock. And we are going to take a short break here and then be back. We've got lots more emails ready to talk to people about and get yours on the air, and we'll take your calls as well. Our number 910-343-1138. I'm Cleve Callison here with Nan Graham and with Barbara Bush on Coastline. This topic today is uses and misuses of language. I'm going to tell you one more thing here. Charlotte from Bolivia says her pet peeve, people using less when they should use few or fewer. She says it drives me nuts. Okay. We will be back, and maybe we'll even talk about that one or some other ones from you in the next segment, the final segment of today's Coastline. Make sure you get in before the end of the show, 910-343-1138. We're going to take a short break and then be back with the rest of today's Coastline.